through the program, just to touch on it. So I want to talk about overwhelm and stepping into your power so that you don't feel so much like a victim of your circumstance or a victim of your situation, because that's not what we're here for, right? We're here to step into our power. And a lot of questions, and this isn't just pointing to anyone here or anyone in particular. This is, I don't know how many sessions I've done now live or how many Q&A sessions, but the theme is usually that we're trying to control someone else's behavior, and we cannot do that, right? It sounds, you're probably like, well, yeah, of course I know that. But a lot of questions that I get are stemming from you still trying to control what he's doing, and you can't. All you can do is control the self, control you. So I want to just touch on overwhelm. So remembering that overwhelm is a habit. It's often something that we develop younger in our younger years. I know for me, it was like my go-to response is just to go right into emotional overwhelm. And I didn't realize at the time how much of it was just past programming, past trauma, coping mechanisms. So for me, and I know this is very common, is it was a very much like an overwhelm, overload, shutdown response. So the overwhelm would hit and I would shut down, and then I'd not be able to really do anything because I was so overwhelmed. And I know that as you're going through this program, that a lot of awarenesses can come and rise to the surface all at once. And I'm sure all of you can relate to this on some level, where there's just all these light bulbs going off, like all over the place. And you're like, holy shit, like too much. One of the ladies messaged me and said she had to take a break from the program materials for now. She's going to come back when she's feeling more able to do that. So sometimes that happens. And she's getting personalized trauma support from someone, because that can happen. I'm not a trauma therapist, and this program is not meant to replace trauma therapy if that's where you're at. But if this is just an overwhelm situation, because you have this emotional overwhelm going on, because not only are you having these realizations about your relationship, but I mean, let's be honest, what's going on in the world right now, it's impacting everybody differently depending on where you are in the world. For me, where I'm in Canada, there's no lockdowns or anything like that. And my girl's high school is still up and running, but there were so many cases of COVID being sent to us, letting us know of exposures and cohorts being shut down, that I'm keeping them home for the most part right now until it dies down. I don't have time for my family to go through COVID, like no. So they're home with me most days, and I'm trying to work around them. And so there's that. And then there's adding all this with relationship. And then if you've got any health stuff you're looking at, or fatigue or exhaustion, like you're in your parenting, if you've got young kids. So overwhelm is real. I'm not here to minimize, to say that, you know, you don't have a lot going on. But we need to learn how to manage this from an empowered place. Okay. So yes, I love seeing faces. Me too. I love being able to see everyone. It's just so different to be able to see faces. I love that. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, here's what I want to give you for coaching is, if you just take one thing, just one thing from each module. I know you've probably got 5,000 things you're taking from each module. Take one thing that was like that big boom, and run with that for the week or for the month. Like, just like, you know, when you're writing your ahas in the group, that's your mind blown moment. And you're like, okay, so this is what I realized. I need to focus on this right now, because remember, you can come back and revisit this program as many times as you need. And you're going to get ahas every time you revisit anything. Just like if you ever read a book and then went back a few years later and read it and were like, wow, I didn't even get that out of it the first time, but holy, that's how this program works too. So there's no rush, and just know that if you get one big aha, boom, life-changing takeaway from each module, you're moving forward. And that's a good thing. So I want you to take it and take action on that thing. You don't need to take action on the 5,000 things that you are realizing right now. You don't need to do that. You just focus on one big glaring thing, or that one big aha that you had, and realize, okay, so this is a sign I've been given or the confirmation that I've been given that this is what I need to know right now. No, and that's fine. If you don't feel safe putting your face on here, absolutely no worries. Some women, some of you are obviously, you're like not worried about that at all. And some of you are, and I want you to only do what is within your comfort level. Absolutely. This is why I actually moved our group off of Facebook, because I wanted it to feel just a little more anonymous and like more like a forum, so that it's not like, boom, you're on Facebook and your family pictures are on there and your profile. And it's just, it's a lot. Facebook is a lot. That's overwhelming. I don't even go on Facebook. I avoid that place like the plague. Okay. So does everyone get that? That if you take one thing from each module, you're doing great. So don't think that you need to high achieve yourself all the way through this program and completely overhaul every aspect of your life in 30 days. Not what we're going for, but I definitely want you to take those breakthroughs and apply them and start practicing them. Okay. So here are five ways to curb overwhelm. And don't worry, all of this is going to be uploaded with this coaching call as it was last week, where I put all of this in a PDF for you guys if you want to print it out just to refer back to. But we're just going to go through this quickly. So I came up with five ways to curb overwhelm. The biggest one is a brain dump. So this is where, and this used, I don't have to do it as much anymore, but like I said, I had to train myself out of this state. I would literally get, especially when my kids were little and I had lots going on, I would literally just like short circuit. Be like, I don't even, can't even think straight. This was like my lifesaver. So what you do is you get just a bunch of paper. What I love to do is have a clipboard. And I just put like the line note paper on the clipboard. And that's like what I use for when I'm just trying to like get thoughts out or get ideas out or just blah, like onto the page. So a brain dump is just that. You're just getting everything that's out. You can jot it down in notes. You can do bullet journaling. It doesn't matter. But just basically you're taking what's in here and you're getting it out of your head and you're putting it on paper. Like, I'm overwhelmed about this. I'm thinking about this. And you're just going to write it all down. And then you're going to look at it and you're going to put it through this filter when you get to that list. It's either I'm going to do it. So that means you need to schedule it and make it happen. I'm going to delete it, which means fuck it. I'm not doing it at all. And then there's also delegate it. So this could be something as simple as who can you ask to do this particular thing? So for me, a big thing is I have my housekeeper that comes in every week. And that is something that really helps me huge, because a messy house makes me feel chaotic. I don't like that. And so that was something that was constantly a stressor and an overwhelm for me. And this last summer we moved into a house like three times the size. So I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep this all clean. Right. So that's just a small example. So look, and your delegate could also be like, I need support. Like, maybe you need a home organizer, or you need a nutritionist, or to go to see a naturopath about your health and get it all figured out. Because some of your overwhelm can be just from burnout and your brain is just fried. So what do you need to do? So look at that list and make a list of like, okay, so now what am I doing? And if these are dues, when am I going to do them by? And that's the only stuff that goes into your calendar. It's like the dues are like, yes, this has to be done. I need to book this naturopathic appointment or this doctor appointment or an eye care appointment or whatever it may be. Yes, this needs to be done. So then it goes into your calendar. And like we talked about last week, this is also about knowing your priorities, ladies. Like, what are your values? What are your true priorities? And like I've said to you right now, I would love it if you, one of your most top priorities aside from your self-care and yourself is that it's ETC. It's really nailing this and giving your all. Do you know how many women I've pulled through this, led through this program that I go into the back end and they don't even finish half of it? They don't attend the calls. They don't complete the program. And I can't, right? It's like, I can't go into my fix it mode and be like emailing them, right? It's like, you're accountable to you. Like, I'm here to coach you on, but you have to make this your priority. Okay. So then that would help with the overwhelm factor, because you're like, well, right now, my 5 hours of my week is spent on my personal growth and getting this relationship stuff figured out. Okay. The second is really important, and that is, oh, sorry, to go back. So remember this, you can write this down. The cure to overwhelm is to take action. We can't solve overwhelm by thinking it away, because it just spins. So when you're feeling that, what can I do? Is there something I need to do right now that's going to take this off my plate? Okay. And then the second is calming and centering your mind daily, because this really slows the mind down. So this is also why journaling is so powerful. It's also why the brain dump is so powerful, because it causes you to slow down and actually have to think about what's going on in here and get it down on paper. I remember when I first started doing the brain dump thing, it would just be like a whole page. And I'm like, no wonder I feel so wow, right? But then what I would notice is some of it was just not true. Some of it was not essential. Some of it wasn't actually that big of a deal. It was just a matter I needed to, like, for me, it's also procrastination. Like if it's like a bunch of phone calls I have to make appointments, I hate doing that shit. I hate that kind of stuff. I'd rather do it over email or book it online. I'm so much into that. But if it's like, I got a call to make this appointment and I got to reschedule that I'll put off. And then I'm like overwhelmed. So you ladies are also dealing with a lot of other stressors. So these little overwhelms are having more impact on you than maybe you realize. It's about minimizing, looking at what's causing it. Maybe overwhelm isn't a thing and you're like, no, I'm Zen. I've got this all dialed. But for most women, I hear, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm overloaded. I don't know where to start. I'm freaking out and all this, right? That doesn't help you. That is not powerful. You're not in your power when you do that. So you look at it and you decide, am I going to do it? And if I am, I'm going to schedule it in and I'm going to actually do it. I'm going to delete it, or I'm handing it off to someone else, hiring it out, delegating, whatever. Okay. And then you're calming and centering your mind daily, even if it's just for 5 minutes to sit and just breathe. The third is really to be aware and address any trauma and PTSD, because frequent and severe emotional overwhelm, which is also known as emotional flooding, may need to be addressed through therapies like somatic psychotherapy or EMDR. I always mention that. That's not my specialty, but get any supports that you need around that. Okay. The fourth is to stop overthinking everything. Who can relate to overthinking everything? And again, you're not taking any action when you're overthinking. You're just spinning your mind, right? So you, and with you ladies in these relationships that you're dealing with, it's just over amplifying everything else. Because you're overthinking that interaction, you're overthinking what you're going to do, and you're just thinking all these things. You've got a lot on your plate, right? But just stop overthinking and start doing more of just the feeling of like, what am I feeling? What am I experiencing? What is going on? Why am I overthinking this so much into like an obsession, analyzing this stupid ass conversation that makes no fucking sense? And here I am putting my energy into this. Yeah. Like that video I put in our group, that was a coach I worked with last year, transformation coach. It was like NLP and hypnosis and all that. So that's why I share a lot of what I learned. You're going to have some of it in the portal later, around hypnosis and reprogramming your subconscious mind and all that. But anyway, he posted that video in the group, cause he's like, you people just overthink and you overanalyze and you make things so complicated when really you just need to stop doing it. Like stop overanalyzing and overthinking. When you notice you're going into overthinking what he's doing, stop it. Just remember that video, go play the video if you have to every time, just stop it. It becomes a joke. Once I share that video, it's like an ongoing joke in the group of like, just stop it. But it's true, right? You got to like do that pattern interrupt of like, I'm not doing this anymore. Cause you waste so much of your life doing that. You're not present for anything else. All right. And the fifth is obviously just a recap from what we've already talked a lot about, is focusing on your self-care. And this means doing whatever it is that you need to do to take care of your well-being, to take care of your spiritual health, spiritual connection, whatever that is, doing your rituals and daily things that are non-negotiable, getting enough sleep, all of those things. Like, I'm a big believer in, I'm not going to go too far down the rabbit hole of health, because I have so many things that I've learned around health. Like, I don't like to do extremes or anything like that. I used to be very extreme with my eating, and even to the degree of eating disorders, and just going so far off the rails with it that I had to find a way to come back into the center with all of the information for health. I think it's important that you have some of your own internal boundaries around health. Like, right now it's like minus 21 or something where we are. So my walk isn't happening, because my nostrils freeze within like 2 seconds being out there, right? My eyes are frozen. Like, I'm not doing that. So my walk isn't happening, which is crappy, because that's a really big piece of my self-care, is my daily walks. But just like the hot baths at night, making sure to have my greens every day, like a green drink or a green smoothie. Like, there's just these, I look at it as almost like healthcare insurance. It's your wellness insurance. So what are those things you need? It's good sleep. It's hydration. It's basic stuff. It doesn't have to be so overcomplicated and extreme, but I want you to just look at, and we're going to talk next week about, we're going to do the balance wheel and really look at your health on a holistic level. And we're going to set some goals around that. But just start thinking, like, am I taking care of myself? Like, what do I need to add in to take better care of me? Because that's going to help with your overwhelm. Okay, so one thing I want to add before I get into the questions is I just want to reiterate and clarify what we're doing here in case anyone is not sure. Pardon me. So the intention of pulling back and removing yourself from the conversations, and I see a lot of you doing that. You're saying, I'm noticing it and I'm catching myself and I'm leaving and I'm having to reiterate and re-explain, and it can start to feel exhausting, right? Where you're just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm parenting a 2-year-old. Like, just get your shit together already, right? But the point of this is you're getting clarity because you're realizing how unhealthy it is. Because you're like when I see how many boundaries are crossed in 5 minutes, I'm like, no wonder I'm so exhausted. I want you to get clarity. And the only way for you to really get that clarity is to pull back from it and unattach yourself from that. It's like a hook, like a web, right? And you can't get out. So the first intention with the pulling back is just for you to protect your energy, to start doing some things to protect your energy, to protect your emotional energy, to conserve your energy, to protect your health, because the stress is not good for your health. We can only do that to a degree when you're having to live in this scenario. So we're talking about minimizing it as best as possible as you can right now in the relationship, right? Obviously the ideal scenario is you're not dealing with any of this, so your body can heal. Right now it's about, how do I minimize it and cushion this? Because right now my reality is I'm in it. So that's the first one. It's to conserve your energy. And the second is to remove yourself from the cyclic patterns so you can begin to see things more clearly. And I'm sure some of you are already getting there where you're like, I don't even know if this is fixable the way it is. Or you might be seeing how far gone it really is, or how severe it really is, or because you might have been kidding yourself that it's not that bad, or that this is just normal, or on some level it's your fault. So I want you to see the truth. That's the key. As not nice as it is, it's not nice to see it and look at it. It's painful and it's overwhelming at times, but you can't change anything from denial, right? You can't change from that mindset. And then the last thing here is that you will see how he responds to your growth and new boundaries, and this will add to the clarity of your next steps. Someone who's repeatedly crossing your boundaries and hurting you does not respect you, and you have to respect yourself enough to say no more and mean it. The other thing to remember is that your boundaries are for you to take care of yourself. They're not up for debate. One of your questions I'm going to get to is, like, he said he doesn't agree with my boundaries. Too bad. That's when you go, okay, that doesn't change them, right? So they're for you. They're for you to take care of yourself. Okay, let's dive into the questions. I'd like to hear your thoughts on self-care and staying true to myself in those moments when my... Wait a minute, did I do this one? Okay, yeah, no, I didn't. I don't think I did this one last week. Self-care and staying true to myself in those moments when my child's behavior mirrors my husband's behavior. My son is 5 years old. I have very uncomfortable feelings toward my son in such a situation. I want to stop it right there. I get scared that he will be like his father. I have a hard time distinguishing whether it is normal child behavior for his age or if it's the result of the influence of my husband on my son. So basically it's like, how do I deal with parenting in the midst of the disrespect my spouse is showing to me, and my son is developing some of those behaviors. Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite long, but what I try and do with every question is make it so that it would pertain to more of you, right? Not specifics, but my coach used to say, what is most specific is most general. So I would say that in any situation when you're parenting, remember, all you can do is handle you. You can't control him. Again, like, you cannot enforce someone else's, if they're going to behave the way they're going to behave, you can't control that. So your boundary is not about controlling their behavior, because you're powerless. You're giving away your power if you even try that. It's not going to work. So when you're parenting with someone like this, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it sucks. And it's stressful and all those things. But all you can do is do you. You can be the mom you want to be. You can show up after having spent time on yourself taking care of you and correct your son and say, that's not how we talk. That's not okay. It hurts mommy's feelings when you laugh at and say things and laugh about it. That hurts my feelings. That really hurts. Like, you can start verbalizing things for him to kind of get it, right? That's not okay. And sometimes you might even be saying that in the moment, if your husband is saying something that's just not okay, and you've got your child right there, is you can look at your husband and say, that's, you know, that really, it's hurtful. You know, and it's just about, or even just like, I'm not having this conversation. I'm not going to get in an argument. Or that's disrespectful. Sometimes it is removing yourself from the situation, the house, the room, whatever it is with your child. So again, this goes back to all parenting stuff around your children. All you can do is you. That's it. Okay. You can only model what you wish to see in your children. Because the fact of the matter is, whether you stay or leave, this is their father for life. And when they are older and they're adults, they can then decide, and they'll see. This was very much the case with my son. He's grown and he has very little to do with his father. He has very strong boundaries up around that because he's learned. Did he have to learn some pretty painful lessons growing up? Yes, he did. And it did impact him. But the point is all I could ever do was do my best to figure me out and figure out how I could best show up for him the best I could. I'm not perfect either, right? None of us are. So again, this goes back to what we're doing in ETC, is you're focusing on you, because that's all you have any power over. Okay. Okay. The next one, my husband has asked me to only interact with him if I have something logistical to communicate, e.g. coordinating food or meals, because our communication otherwise spirals pretty quickly. And if I have something more meaningful to say, to write it. This is him setting a boundary. I don't know about that. The request isn't unfamiliar. He made it first a couple of weeks ago. Since then, our behavior has confusingly alternated with him. Okay. When I can't even read something, I know crazy making is going on. Remember that. So if you can tell that I'm confused, this is crazy making. This makes no sense. Okay. And I'm not blaming you, whoever wrote this. It's just that I'm from the outside bird's eye view. I can read a question and know it's crazy making right then and there. So basically what you're saying is that he's saying, please don't talk to me unless it's something logistical about dinner or something like that. Okay, whatever. Basically he's saying, please don't come to me with your grievances or stand up for yourself or bring up anything that I don't want to deal with, basically, right? So the thing around this is that
Carly-Ann, I'm sorry, it's super long. Do you want me to just, I can clarify. The actual question is, like, we haven't been talking, basically, a few sentences a day. And I'm worried that I'm neglecting him because his accusation of me is like, you're abusing me. And I know that neglect is a type of abuse. And I'm wondering, like, am I genuinely neglecting him by honoring his boundary? It's very odd, yeah, but it's a genuine question.
So, yes. So my observation on this is still the same. It's crazy making. He's saying, here's my boundary and now you're upholding it. And he's saying, now you're abusing me. Does that not sound a little bit crackers? Right. So he's twisting everything up. So you're saying I'm doing my work on ETC. I'm taking care of me. I'm putting my time in for myself and you're worried you're being neglectful. Well, I can tell you that that is a straight up no. And your confusion and worry about how you might be causing the problem as a result of this crazy making. I'm just writing the notes because I pre-read these and wrote down everything. So you need to continue pulling your energy back, recognize it as crazy making. That is messed up. It makes no sense. He is still manipulating you by saying, hey, I don't want anything to do with you. Just text me if you need something. But you're abusing me by putting focus on yourself. No. So the other thing is to ask yourself what makes you think you're being neglectful. And you just answered that because he said you are, right? That's where the question is. He's saying that you're being abusive to him.
No, like he's said that in the past, but this is actually just my internal voice. Like by day three, waking up and like feeling more comfortable in myself and like I could just get on with my day, like the worry comes up that like this is going to come back to bite me in the ass if I give him his space, because it has in the past. So he hasn't done it this time, but in the past he said, like, you're not even thinking about us. You're supposed to be thinking about the relationship. You're not doing any work. So, but your advice still applies.
Well, and the thing is that actually he's projecting anyways. Somehow you've taken it on when he's the one that's neglectful. And somehow, how did that happen, right? This is what happens. This is the effect of this, is that we literally take it on and go, oh, I'm the one being abusive and neglectful because I'm pulling myself back. No, it's not the same thing, because you're doing it to protect yourself. You're doing it to take care of yourself. You're not doing it to control and harm or manipulate or crazy make or any, like, just like I said, reading that question, I can tell right away that there's crazy making going on there. Makes no sense. So for you, what I would say is to just keep doing what he's saying, but you can actually go into the conversation and say, you know, this really just makes no sense to me. And I've started to notice that when I'm confused, like this is just an example where you say, I'm a pretty smart, articulate woman. Like, I don't find this confusion in any other area of my life. And I started to notice that when it comes to you, I get confused a lot. And I've learned, you could say, through a program I'm taking or through work I'm doing, that this is actually a sign of manipulation. And so what I've noticed is this boundary you've set has left me feeling really, like, confused, like it makes no sense. So I'm wondering if you can clarify what this is. Like, what is it that you're needing from me? What are you asking? And put it back on him, because you can just basically call him out in that way of just like, you know, I've noticed this and I'm not doing it anymore. Like, call him out on it. And it doesn't need to be insulting. It's just, you know, I've noticed that this relationship confuses me. I don't feel like this in any other area of my life. And I'm not willing to continue in feeling this way. So either you can clarify for me what it is that you're needing from me, you know, or what is this? Like, it makes no sense. You say this and then you say that. Can you clarify? The less you can say, the better. You just put it on him and you say, this makes no sense. Would you care to clarify this? Otherwise, there's nothing more to talk about, right? Yeah, like, this boundary you set has left me really confused. I want to check in that I understand you correctly. Yes, you can also say, so here's what you said. Here's what you're saying. Here's what you did. Can you see where the confusion is? You're not being clear at all, right? It's always about putting it back on them. And your example, Emily, is perfect. You're perfectly articulate, right? All of you are. So please do not buy into the bullshit that you're not articulating what the fuck's going on properly. Like, it just, like, that's like, if we just, let's just finish the call right there. Because you're all smart. You all are successful. You all, I'm sure, go on about your day in the world without being confused by the grocery store clerk or your best friend or someone at work or something where you're like, what? Like, what are you, like, have you ever been gaslit by, like, your best friend, or had a conversation that left you just feeling just like reeling? No, that was like the biggest thing for me, was to have that awareness. Cause your relationship just is, it becomes this like vortex and you don't see much else. Right. So you just are like, why do I feel this way all the time? But then you realize when you pull back, like what you guys are doing now, is like, wow, it's this relationship that's doing this to me. It's not me. Not that we're perfect, right? I'm not saying, oh, we don't have anything we need to work on. I'm just saying that it's the relationship that is causing the confusion, the lack of clarity, the feeling of being crazy, like you're losing it. And you're trying to articulate something. You're an articulate woman. You're trying to articulate something that from someone outside, it makes no sense. So I can imagine how you feel. This is what especially the covert type is all about. You can't put your finger on it, but you're just like, it's horrible, horrible. So Emily, taking care of yourself in this is pulling back and not getting hooked into that. You cannot get hooked into that. No, you're not being abusive. Stand in that. Sure, put it back on him and say, here's what you said. Do you care to clarify on this? Because this is just makes no sense at all. Put it back on him and don't say too much. All right. So the next question is, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's basically just a big trigger for me is politics, that her partner is putting stuff up on Facebook that her family or their family can see. And it's causing a lot of issues, to say the least. I told him how I feel, how it's hurting me, giving me anxiety, and how he is causing problems with the family over it. His comment was, it's just politics. I'm too sensitive and I shouldn't go on Facebook if I have a problem with it and shouldn't bother me. I deleted my Facebook since then because I just don't want to even know what he's posting. Okay, it's a huge trigger for me. So number one, why is it a huge trigger for you? So I want you to look at that. Why is what he's posting with his name on it? He's the big boy. He's a grown man. He's choosing to do those things. Why is it triggering you? Number one, because remember, we have to own our own triggers. If something's triggering me, even if someone else is kind of the one that's putting the vinegar in the wound, like the wound is still mine, I have to look and go, okay, why is this triggering me so much? Who do I know in my life, my past, that acted in this way? where they didn't care about what I felt. They didn't care about how something was impacting me. They did it anyways. It's a pattern. Okay. So that's the first thing I want to highlight. The second is that, yes, deleting your Facebook account. I'm a very big proponent of that. I would do the same if it wasn't a big piece of running an online movement, right? Like I have to have somewhere to post. But I mainly am over on Instagram because I find it much nicer to be over there than anywhere on Facebook. So I think deleting your Facebook account, that was a very smart move, because why would you subject yourself to seeing that stuff? I mean, he's an adult. It's up to him to deal with the fallout from the family if he's going to choose to do that. So again, it's you removing yourself from that. Okay. So let him behave how he's going to behave. You can't control his behavior, only your own. Okay. Hope that makes sense. All right. Next one. What do you do if your boundaries are not respected in front of the children? When we're in a rush, usually it is in the morning when my older son is preparing to go to kindergarten. My husband requires that he is the one who takes older son to kindergarten. So I highlighted this part. Usually it's the morning when my older son is preparing to go to kindergarten. My husband requires that he is the one who takes my older son to kindergarten. He requires, is he God? Is he, who is he? He's your son too. The languaging in that is very much victimized. And I mean this with love. I want you to stand in your power in here. He requires this. Okay. The story goes on. And I'm going to try and just really make this a teachable moment for everyone. So basically what's happening is that they're getting ready for school and he's requiring to take the son to school, but he's losing his mind and being impatient and behaving in really crappy ways toward both of you in the morning when he's requiring that he's the one that takes him to school. And this is a pattern. And what you said here, I also highlighted, is I'm afraid it will create conflict because he wants to control this. So this is exactly the issue. He's trying to control it, but your son is pawn. Yeah. He's kind of like I hate that when that happens. But he's the one that is getting the brunt of it. And so it's up to you to say, this isn't working, right? This is not gonna happen. So if he's mistreating your son and he's saying, but yet I'm the one that wants to take him to school, Target. Yeah. Like, it's sad. Like it just, when I see stuff with kids, it just really like tugs at my heart because they are the true victims. They can't do anything about their situation. They only know their parents. That's all they know for survival, right? They can't say, I hate this shit. I don't want you to take me to school, right? they're just trying to survive in it too. So you need to put away the fear that it will create conflict and create conflict. Your fear of conflict is what's driving this pattern, and your son is the one that is suffering. Okay. So here's what I have for you. What do you have control over in this situation? You see how I always bring it back to this? What do you have control over in this situation? We can't tell someone what to do, but we can tell them what we will do to take care of ourselves. And in this case, take care of your child. What do you need to do to bring more peace, calm, and safety into your mornings for yourself and your children? Because it's actually on you. It should be on him too, but he's left the building, right? He's not doing it. So it's got to be you to say, my son deserves to have peace and safety and calm in the morning before he goes off to school. And so you have to first affirm it in yourself that this is not going to continue. Okay. And I have an example script for you to use as an example and just tweak it how you want. I want you to know moving forward, how you behave in the mornings with XYZ behavior. And remember, specific, very clear and concise. is not healthy for our child, and insert name of child, obviously, to start his day off in this anxiety and stressful environment. So tomorrow morning, when we're getting the kids ready for school, if you start with specific behavior, I will be stepping in and taking him to school from now on. I will no longer stand by and allow you to bring this stress and chaos into our home. You're not entitled to act however you want. This is part of the entitlement of, like, I get to just freak out and lose my shit and get, you know, impatient and be an asshole and snap at the little kid. And I get, because I'm stressed out and I'm in a hurry, which is kind of what you're saying here. No, you're not entitled to that. And it's got to be you that steps in and says, no, not how it's happening. You got to stand firm in that, because you are the protector of them. He is not. So I hope that helps. All right, we're going to talk about money boundaries. Typically, I hear advice for women who are financially dependent on their spouse. I have the reverse situation. I'm the income earner and have inherited savings. My husband has no source of income if I don't give him money through our company for work. I've tried to separate our finances over the past 2 years. Instead, I continually find myself paying off his cards, paying for emergency expenses that he chooses. I don't feel like I can force him to pay for his own expenses when he has an ever dwindling savings, basically funds I gave him a few years ago. When I've tried to hold him accountable for his own expenses, I generally fail. He ends up carrying interest bearing debt. For example, right now he has $6,000 in a line of credit that I'm about to pay down from my savings from when I stopped paying his expenses last year. What advice? So yeah, I mean, this is just like, he's financial abuse, right? So if I'm not a financial advisor, let me first say that. I'm not going to give you direct financial advice, but there's no boundaries in here at all. There's none. So why are you paying his stuff down? Why is he not having to suffer the consequences? So I always say, like, are these debts in your name as well? That's where there gets to be a little bit of an issue. No. Okay. Stop paying it. Done. Mm-mm. No, Emily, no. He gets to be abusive and screw with your head and not do anything all day, every day. And you're going to pay him and you're going to put yourself in a financial hole. So, and this is not anything I've not heard before.
Yeah.
I have heard of women like losing everything and having to leave the relationship with nothing when they came into it with everything. So that's where you're heading. If you keep doing this, you're enabling him. And this is very codependent. You're enabling his abuse. You're enabling his bad behavior. You're enabling his underfunctioning. You're enabling his passivity. You're enabling the abuse. You're enabling him to keep doing what he's doing. Why would he stop? There's no consequences. Listen, buddy, this is how it's going to go. I'm not doing this anymore. And you're going to have to get your shit together because you are being abused financially. He's putting you in a crappy position financially. I mean, that just would not fly in my marriage. No fucking way. Our finances there is a line in the sand. I have my business, that's all mine. I take care of my own finances, my own bills, some of the house stuff I take on. We have separate accounts and we have never paid off each other's debts. Like that to me is just like a really big boundary. You should not, I don't tell you what to do. I just see in here that there are no boundaries whatsoever. It's none. I just do this and he wants to do that. And this is just what I do. And I keep paying this down and his savings is dwindling that I actually gave him. Nope. So here's what happens is these men are not going to change unless they have to. And even then, sometimes they don't. But pulling this boundary of, I am no longer digging you out of your financial holes. I will no longer be doing X, Y, Z. So for example, I will no longer be paying your credit cards down. I'm not doing that anymore. He's going to have to figure it out. So when you start to remove things from them that they're getting that are benefiting them, you're going to really see their true self, whether it's like, oh, I better get my shit together. You're right. But I mean, I just don't see that. I see that if you do that, what probably will happen is he will, number one, play Mr. Nice and do all the hoovering attempts because he's like, oh, shoot. Oh, crap. My sugar mama's pulling back the honey. Like, uh-oh. Right? Or he might escalate and it might get worse. And that's going to show you a lot. So I really encourage you, again, not wanting to give you what I'm really thinking in my head. I try not to tell anyone what to do. Okay. But what I want to say in here is you're not setting any boundaries. You're enabling all of this. Okay. Yep. I agree. And it's scary. I'm sure I could feel that. But that is usually where we need to go, where there's that guilt and fear kind of in there. That's a sign that that's where you need to go. Where we often feel the guilt and the fear of that boundary, that's like, okay, that's where I got to go. You kind of know it, right? You already kind of know it on that deeper level, but you've been too afraid to set that limit. But this would be the time to do it while you've got support behind you and the group and everything. So I want you to take some time and jot down, like, what am I no longer going to do here? What are my obligations that's going to make sure that I'm staying on a good path financially, and what are not? And that's what I need to say. No more. Okay. I feel for you, but you can do this. You can do this. You have to. All right. Next question. I'm not okay with porn usage in the relationship, and I'm really struggling with an effective boundary and consequence. I made it clear that was a non-negotiable for me our first month together 12 years ago. That is not a non-negotiable boundary, by the way. He told me he understood and was fine not using it, but continued to occasionally sneakily, and I find out sometimes and be devastated. It destroyed me. The past year, I realized I never had a consequence, right? So it wasn't a true boundary. Sleeping in different rooms won't work either because he'd like that. I'm the one who wants to sleep together. I'm also worried setting the boundary will just make him sneakier, as it's part of a bigger issue of lying than doing what he wants. I worry I won't feel any better. Okay. So the first thing that stood out to me here, I'm just going to take a sip of my tea here. The first thing that stood out to me here is I made it clear that it was a non-negotiable for me our first month together 12 years ago. This shit's been going on for 12 years. That was not a non-negotiable. That was a, I don't really like it, but sure, I'll stick around. So that was the first thing. The second thing is, what is the boundary in here? I am not okay with you. This is not okay with me. Right. And so you're saying leaving the bedroom won't, but is that what's going to help you in this scenario? Because for me, it would certainly be like, I don't want anything to do with you if that's what you're doing. Like, that would be an absolute non-negotiable for me. Like, so it's about really looking at what can you do in this? And what is a consequence that you're willing to enforce if it continues? So this might be where it's the conversation of the consequence is, if this is truly a non-negotiable, and a non-negotiable means it changes or I'm out. It's not a, like, sure, it would be nice kind of thing. A non-negotiable is, this relationship will not continue if this doesn't get dealt with. So that might be the conversation. Either you get treatment, and if it's an addiction that's been going on for 12 years, if it is indeed an addiction, a dependency, he's going to have to get some help for that. It's not, it's like any addiction. It's hard to break something like that, just like that, and say, well, I won't do it again. And what you have seen with the sneakiness, there's probably a lot more you haven't seen. You know, you think you catch them in one thing, there's 10 other things you didn't see. I'm just playing devil's advocate. So you can't trust this person. And for me, that would be the biggest thing, is like, I can't trust you. Like, you tell me it's all legit, but underneath I can feel like something's off here. And you're the only one that wants to sleep together, because if he's using porn as his drug of choice, yeah, he's not going to have any desire to be close and intimate. So I want you to really think about, what is the non-negotiable here? Because 12 years ago, it wasn't a non-negotiable. Maybe it is now. You stayed that long, that wasn't a deal breaker. So basically, a non-negotiable is a deal breaker. This changes, or we're not together. Plain and simple. That's just how it is. Maybe it's not that for you. Maybe you can just live with it and be like, okay, I'm just going to turn a blind eye to it and focus on myself and not think about what he's doing. It's pretty hard to have a real relationship with something like that going on, because to me, the way I see it, it's a form of infidelity. That's how I see it. Your sexual energy and, those kinds of feelings that should be reserved for the person that you're with are being used other places. Pretty hard to trust. So that is my advice to you around that. Is this a non-negotiable, a deal breaker? And if it is, what boundary do you need to set and conversation do you need to have so that he knows? And this is all outlined in the exit module 4, where I actually am talking about how do you set that intervention, in a sense, if you feel like you can do that. This is where you literally are like, listen, I'm not doing this anymore. It's like a come to Jesus moment, they say, like, not doing this anymore. This has gone on for far too long. And I've come to realize that if this continues, I will not be able to stay in this relationship. So either you figure this out, and whatever that looks like, it's, you know, you're going to have to figure that out as well. But it's going to be a journey for you too. Even if he says, sure, yep, I'm going to get help, it's still a long road ahead for you in this situation. To me, most if not all addictions feel similar to infidelity. The addiction is the more important relationship. That's right. So for me, it's either me or the addiction. I'm still working on how to communicate that. Well, you just did. You just did. Take your words, say them out loud to him. To me, this is infidelity. This is what it is for me. For me, that's my truth. Sure, maybe there's some women that are fine with porn, but you're not. You're saying, and that's my boundary. This feels like infidelity to me. And it feels like it's more important to you than our relationship, and that it's more important to you than me. So for me, it's either you deal with this or I'm not staying. But you have to be willing and starting the process of what that looks like on the other side. The other thing I highly recommend is setting a time frame. So some women say 30 days, some women give it 90 days, some women say 6 months. Like, you, it's up to you. But just to say to him, like, for me to be able to give this like 30 days or 90 days or whatever it is, you have to prove it to me. Like, you've got to turn the table on him. Prove to me why I should give you that time. Because from where I'm standing, I should be walking out that door right now. Got to shift and turn the tables. Prove to me how you're worthy of me. Because right now, right? So I hope that helps. Okay. And one more, and then we'll have a bit of time if anyone wants to come on and have a bit of one-to-one with me. We'll see. how to think about and respond to the following objections raised by him to my boundaries. This one made my brain hurt. I had to really think about this one. He says, I disagree with this boundary. Why should your opinion count more than mine? I was just like, who says that? So here's what I want you to say to that. You can disagree with me all you want. The boundary is my limit. And you don't have to agree with it, but it doesn't change the boundary. And then you said here, lately, my response is, then maybe we're not a fit. That's passive aggressive. It's not powerful. The second is you said that he says that's criticism. I've asked you not to criticize me. And I'm not sure if what you're saying is in response to him saying then when you said that maybe we're not a fit, if he then said that's criticism. But what I would say to this is I hear you that you see my response or my limit or boundary as criticism, and it's not my job to convince you otherwise.
Hi, it's me. It was separate. It's just how the deflection takes place.
Yeah, it's crazy making.
Yeah.
Crazy making. Like I've seen a lot of stuff, but like when I get confused, I'm like, this is like, wow, like what a gaslighting attempt. Like,
yeah, sometimes
you're, like you get to, your opinion doesn't count more than mine. Like, what do you say to that? Right. In the moment, you're just like, oh, right.
Well, exactly.
No. So
yeah, it's very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's crazy making.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is where you just have that canned response. You can disagree all you want. You cannot like it all that you want. This isn't about my opinion. This is about my boundary. It's about my limit. You don't have to agree with it, but it doesn't change it. And you just are not reacting. And it's the same thing, right? Just come up with something like this or word it yourself. I really recommend writing these one-liners down or these responses down, tweaking them to what feels right to you. You don't have to use exact wording that I would use, but take some of these examples and apply them in your life and just keep using the same ones over and over and over again. And then when it's something like that's criticism, I've asked you not to criticize me, to just, I hear you. But it's not my job to convince you otherwise. Just watch what happens. Right? And just be like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I also have, in the boundaries module, I've put together quite a list of different, responses. Some of them are a little cheeky and, sassy, but that's okay. Because you know what, when you get to this point, so what, you know, it's not that you're being rude or verbally abusive. It's just kind of like, I don't even have the bandwidth for your nonsense anymore. That's what you get to, right? Mm-hmm. So does that help? Does that answer?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So we have a little less than half an hour. If anybody would like to come on, just simply in the chat, just put coaching and I will have you come on. And if there isn't any, then we will just be finishing up earlier. Nobody? Marge. All right. Unmute yourself.
Hi. The hardest thing for me in those moments is to be able to stay calm. It just feels like the moments are just accelerating and I just feel so scared. Like, I just don't know what he's going to do, you know? Is he going to rage and throw or punish the kids later?
Right. You know, or, and is this know, is this something that he's done in the past?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, has he become physical?
He has definitely thrown things. And I've definitely, he has a cycle of 8 months about of something physical with the kids.
Okay.
That's sort of like, it's only been super dramatic once, but, or twice, but this is like just denial here at play. Honestly, I know that. It just,
I mean, the fear that you have, I mean, that's a big one for me. Like if you have absolute fear for your safety or your children's physical safety, to me, that's taking it up many, many notches as far as like moving you toward like, just go to module four and figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you are worried about that, that is severe.
Yeah.
It is severe. If you are afraid to bring something up because you're worried he's going to lose it and hurt you or your children or throw things, that is not okay.
Yeah. So now he's Mr. Nice Guy, you know, and is going to therapy, has found us a couples therapist. He took initiative, all this stuff. And it has made it really hard to pry apart, you know, what the covert stuff. He's just become way more covert.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That can happen. That when they start to sense that, or they know that you're kind of onto them, it can go a lot more covert. Absolutely. But what I would be doing with the therapist is addressing this fear you have.
Okay.
If you have not already, have you?
Basically we had a meeting this week and I said, well, you know, we're supposed to be on a hiatus and why don't we meet again in March? Cause I'm doing this program.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I just don't want to give him the opportunity to just suck more supply out of me through these interactions. It's just,
and I don't know if you've heard much like on the podcast and what I have to say about couples therapy. I don't have a lot with that.
I've listened to all of your podcast episodes.
So like it's for me, I would be saying if this, and I'm just going to say this was me, if my husband was like that and I feared for my safety or my children's safety, I would say, I just want you to know, if you ever get violent, throw things, damage anything or hurt our children, I will be calling the police. That's what I would say. I'm like, that's not okay. You don't get to do that. I don't care how upset you are. You're not allowed to do that.
So simple what you just said, but yet I have to write it down, you know, because it's so hard for me to go there.
Absolutely. And it's being, you're in that fear place, but you need to be proactive. This is what we talked about in this module, proactive boundaries. Listen, you can be upset or not like something and we can talk about it like adults, but this is not going to happen. And if it does, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
You have to be proactive to protect yourself. And also I would be having, if you haven't already done the exit plan, where I actually have a checklist of all the things you need to start taking care of just to prepare, is to have somewhere you can go on a quick whim if you had to. Like have a
I'm working on the
pardon
module.
Me?
I'm working through that module right now.
Yeah. So there's one part in it I'll just cover here, is that have somewhere that you can go, even if it's like a hotel, but have a bag packed somewhere, have it in your trunk, have it at a best friend's house, so that if that ever happened, you can grab your kids and bolt. If you have any, if it's that severe and you're that scared, you need to prepare for that. Cause I don't want anything to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks. So prepare, go do that module. There's a whole checklist in there. Like, here's what you need to prepare for. And get yourself prepared.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help?
Yes. Can I ask another micro question about the boundaries?
Sure.
It feels so, one of the reasons that I've gone quiet is fear. And the other is I've noticed that every time I attempt to set a boundary, which obviously I've done somewhat poorly, but not completely poorly, is it's just an opportunity for him to extract more from me. And I just don't want to give them that.
Right. And to be honest, Marge, where you're at, this is probably not much. The boundary needs to be, I'm calling the police or I'm leaving the house. If that's the case, that it's that severe, that if you set it, you're worried if you set a boundary, he's going to go violent. That's one of the scenarios where I say it's probably not, it's the boundary is I'm getting out of here.
Okay. Right?
It's like removing yourself to get to safety or calling the police if he's getting violent. right away. Like right away, if he's throwing things, like that's not okay. It's not normal, right? It's not adult behavior.
Yes.
He's not looking after his children. He's being very destructive with his children, abusive with his children. Yeah. So it's like I've said here many times is that the onus lies on us in those circumstances, right? Where it's like you start to see what you're dealing with and it's like, well, me just voicing the boundary isn't going to do shit.
Yeah.
So I want you to check back in with us in the group. And if you feel up to it and just share what it is that you've decided to do as far as the boundary goes around that. But I would really recommend that you go and start doing the checklist in the exit module because you want to start preparing that stuff now. Just so you have it aware, because it comes down to like, have you considered you need this document and that document and this thing you want to make sure you have with you if you leave because you're not going to want to come back to get it, right? You need to be thinking of all these things.
Yeah, I started the plan. I have the checklist and I'm working through it.
I get that that is hard, but it's you don't really have a choice in this.
Yeah.
If he's a threat to you physically or your child, that's the one time where I'm going to tell you, start making your plans. And if he's that psychotic, probably don't tell him that that's what you're planning.
Right. Yes.
Because it could escalate the violence if that he's already prone to. So don't take any chances.
Right. I'm not. Hopefully I'm doing a good job of that. But certainly if I show it, it's not intentional.
Well, it's just, you have to see it for what it is, right? You have to see this for the severity that it is and that it's probably not going to get better if it's to that point. Okay. All right. So I hope that helps. Man, that's hard, right? So hard when things escalate to that degree. Okay, Carrie, I put one more question about 10:30. If I missed it, you can sure ask it here. Yeah. Violence and threats take it from covert to overt. Yes, exactly.
Can you hear me here?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Hi, everyone. So my other question was about like, my husband constantly says he'll do things and then just never does them unless I like keep bringing it back up or reminding him. Like he'll say, I'll call about that bill that was wrong and, or I'll do those dishes, but he'll months and weeks will go by. He'll wait till literally every dish is dirty and I have to ask him again. And it kind of ties into like the, like he just says whatever to get out of situations, like related to the porn thing too. And then just does what he wants. So it's just like, his words don't really mean anything when he tells me he'll do something. And then I just feel like a nag because all I have to do is just keep reminding him to do things, asking him repeatedly. And I'm exhausted from it after 12 years.
Oh yeah. I get it. Yeah. It's like parenting a child, right? Like that's why parenting is so exhausting because you're doing that all day, but you're dealing with an adult. So in this scenario, it is tough. Like I went through some of this with even my husband, where it just came down to the point where it's like, I had to realize like, this house is everyone's house. This house is everyone's mess. These dishes are your dishes too. They're not my responsibility. They're both of our responsibility. And so, you know, I would even be looking at like, are you cooking all the meals? Are you doing everything? Do you have children?
We don't have kids. If I could expand a little bit, I don't have a job right now. And I was like super sick for a while. Of course, I fell into like a depression and panic over our relationship for a bit and stuff. But I am looking for a job, at least part time. But he basically thinks I should have to do everything because I'm not bringing in any financial help. And like, I do like all the cooking and I have our entire relationship. I do all the laundry. I do the majority of the housework, and we have four pets. I do the majority of that. And he just views it as me like doing nothing and doesn't view that as a contribution. And so if I try to bring anything up, it's like, well, when you get a job, we can talk about that. Well, when you're earning money. But when I've had other jobs, his is always worse. He's making more money. It's more important. Whatever. There's always something. And yeah, it took me not having a job at all to like realize that he'd been taking advantage of that for so long and just letting me do everything.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an ongoing issue. Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon, but it's you that has to own it. That's like, no, I'm not your maid. I'm not your hired help. I'm not your cook. I'm not like, I'm not any of those things. I'm your wife. And we're in this partnership. And, you know, when I hear of women talking about, they got sick, they had periods of sickness and they're not working, it's like, it's from the stress of the relationship. So you get caught in this, like entrapped in it, because you get to a point where you're too sick and weak to do anything about it. And you're even more vulnerable then. And then that's when sometimes it escalates and they get worse. Some of them mm-hmm. can get worse when you're at your worst, mm-hmm. rather than being there for you and being supportive. That's when they pull the plug of support and they just completely abandon you in a sense. Right. So what's keeping you in the relationship? I mean, I'm only asking because a lot of times for a lot of women, it's they have kids and they've got all these entanglements, right? What's keeping you there?
Well, for right now, it's because I don't have a job and like income and like, and he's even kind about it. Like he says, if we split up, he would support me and he doesn't want me to struggle and like he would give money. So, I mean, I guess he's saying I could leave, but it's been that. And then like, why I stayed early in the relationship, like when the porn stuff happened, I came from a religious upbringing and like my parents already like disowned me for a bit whenever I moved in with him because they didn't agree with it. And so I was like, I just kind of felt like I had to stay in the relationship and push through the issues. And that's what my parents did, of course. And I was young and naive and I believed him when he told me that he would like stop doing it and not do that. And I don't know, something happened in the last year that I just really realized all the ways that he'd been like lying or telling me he'd do one thing and not another. And yes. So now, I don't know, I guess now it's just like, it's been 12 years and it's hard to think about not being with him. Or, I mean, I was only 20 when we got together too. So I've never been an adult on my own and like, you know, just had to live and have everything on me.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the fear, and 12 years is a long time. But how many more years are you going to give it if it continues exactly how it is?
Not many, even though it terrifies me to
think. How much longer, if this continues how it is, or it gets worse, because most things just get worse, how long can you keep doing this?
Like within this year, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I wanted to like do this course and commit myself to it. Like I found you back in October when I was in a really bad place, and I had it in my sight to do this and just get through it. And then like, I'm excited for the stuff about how to talk to him and stuff, because in some recent fights, he said like, oh, I will find a therapist. Oh, I do need to like work on my anger and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm not sure I love him anymore. And that's really tough. But like, I feel like I need to give him a chance after this long, or like see if he will take any big steps, if he like really thinks I'm going to leave. But I'm not sure I actually want to anymore. But
well, and that's so common for women to be like, oh, I don't want to leave now, when this might be that point he actually changes, then I'm going to miss out on all that wonderfulness. No, because what I can tell you is, even if he meant that, you got a long road ahead of you. Even if he meant that wholeheartedly and he's taking steps right now. But what I'm hearing you say is he's not really taking any meaningful steps.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nothing's
actually. But again, I think he just feels like, until I have a job, until I'm doing more on my side, he doesn't need to do anything.
Of course.
And literally every argument, if I say like, hey, I asked you not to do that, he's like, well, talk to me when you have a job and we can discuss that. Or like, you don't deserve that until you have income or whatever.
So he's financially abusing you.
I guess in ways. I'm just like, he doesn't try to control the money. He doesn't care how much I spend on groceries.
But he's still being financially abusive to you by saying those things.
Yeah.
So he's financially abusing you. He's watching porn. He's neglecting you. He's being very sexist and disrespectful to you in the home, if that's how he's talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other things going on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely keep going, obviously going through the program, but I would also say for you to start visiting that exit module, to start thinking along those lines, planning ahead. What does that look like? What do I need to prepare for now? What advice do I need to get? That's where I would be going if I were you, in that direction. You know, they can say a lot of slick words. I want to change. I'm going to go to counseling. I see my ways. But what's actually changing? Is anything actually changing? And where is the action? Words mean shit.
Yeah.
It's the action. It's the alignment with, I say this, I'm following it up with this. I say I want our marriage to work out, and this is what I'm actually doing about it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's just, I mean, disrespectful. He is financially abusing you, even though you're like, oh, he's being generous because he wants to come across as nice. Yet he's degrading you by saying your needs don't matter to me because you don't have a job. Talk to me when you have a job. So what I would be saying is a job has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. I've tried, like, I just get too deep in the over explaining and trying to get him to understand me, because I've tried to be like, I should have like value to you just for being your wife, and like should love me just for being like a good human and a good person, like regardless of my income and everything. And he just like doesn't get it, and it always spins into all the other things that I haven't done. And
yeah, so whatever. It's all so. Part of that abuse web. So you're seeing it as, oh, it's not that because he does all these things financially, but I'm guessing even though he does those things, he probably finds a way to guilt you or shame you about that he makes the money or anything too. So it's
oh yes.
So for you, you need to get really clear, like what are the non-negotiables? What's going right in this relationship? What makes me even want to work through the porn and the this and the that with him? Like, why would I do that? Is there enough good left for you to put another 3 or 4 years into it, just reversing what's been done, if it can be? Or is it that you move forward away from all this and get stronger, have some time that's just you, not have, because like you said, you've been in a relationship since a very young age, right? So I don't want to tell you what to do, but it's just, you have to.
No, I really appreciate
it. And
yes.
Okay.
I'm just sharing with you my mental game, you know, my mental trip, you know, basically, which I think is common, but I'm in deep denial, basically.
Well, this is all hoovering, right? It's all textbook, right? Like, I think, like you're saying that he's now cooking and staying present and doing, yeah. For how long though? Right. So he's continuing some pretty serious covert gaslighting though, and videotaping, taking notes when my behavior with the kids isn't good. Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of psychological stuff going on there. Have you ladies ever heard of, it's like an old movie. It's called Gaslight, I think. It's literally like this guy that, he plays around with the lights or something to make his wife think she's going crazy and denies that he's playing with the gas. Something, you have to look it up. I think you can get it on YouTube, but it's just, to me, that's like exactly what this is like. It's like these, you're all so smart and talented and articulate and amazing, and yet you're sitting there in your house wondering if you're cracking up, like, because that's what this dynamic has done to you. Whereas if you were to remove yourself from this dynamic, you would start to, and I've heard this from so many women, it's like, oh my God, everything changed when I left. It's like night and day. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what's on the other side of this, because this might be you know, if you've, especially if you've been in it for a really long time, like years and years and years, over a decade, you've forgotten what it's like to just not be around that kind of stuff. So you don't know anything different. And if he's doing the cooking and staying present and being devoted, yet he's videotaping and taking notes, like, have you ever been like, what's up with that? That is just, yeah, that's twisted. To be clear, my behavior with kids, not good. It's when I raise my voice or give them a consequence for behavior. And dealing with conflicts between my two kids, I'm not actually doing anything bad. Well, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm saying you have nothing to worry about in that. That is almost like, you know, I don't want to diagnose anything, but he sounds like he might have, like, I would say look up like narcissism with psychotic tendencies, like sociopathic, like that sounds really twisted, and you might be in something a lot more severe than you realize. Cause that's really messed up.
I wonder that. And then I think, wow, I must be crazy that I think that.
No, that's crazy.
And that I have to share, literally, he's now been, for the last 2-3 weeks, he talks about the lights of the car.
He talks about what?
The lights of the car. Oh, did you leave them on? Oh, they were on. Oh, did you leave them on? Oh, did you press the button? The car keep didn't realize, literally, like the movie. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but literally, you know.
I think literally. You need to run, lady. Wow. Somebody, who was it last week? Somebody asked a similar question that was it you then that asked about that, where he was saying that you were, was it you?
Yes.
Okay. So that is another behavior he's doing. That is like severe gaslighting. That would go into psychopathic realm. Look it up. Just because the only reason why is because I want you to be aware of what's actually going on. That goes into another extreme. He's not just someone who has some narcissistic traits. He's could be in the psychopathic spectrum. Cause that's intentional, right? That shit is intentional. There's gaslighting. I do believe that's not necessarily intentional, intended to crazy make. There's gaslighting that's meant to take the heat off of them and focus off them. They don't want to look at themselves. They're like, that never happened, or they've got to minimize it in some way. I do believe there's different levels of that. Not that any of it's good. None of it is okay. But what I'm saying is this is very intentional, and that points toward psychotic. You watch your back on that for sure. So I would say look up some of that, just to be clear what you're dealing with. So narcissistic psychopath, like, look, I could be wrong, but I'd rather I was wrong and you're like, no, that's not it. Or you're like, oh my God, like this is so far gone. And if that's the case, he's not going to change, and it's only going to escalate. If what you're seeing right now, this is in, you're in the relationship. Can you imagine what would happen when he has nothing left to lose, or he loses control? That's the thing. That's why I say always prepare. If you have any concern for your physical safety, prepare for the worst. Because when they no longer have control, if they have those tendencies, that's when things can go really sideways. So don't take this lightly, okay? Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Everybody in these relationships thinks they're the crazy one. And I can't tell you how many women reach out to me, especially on Instagram, with a similar story of like, is it me? Am I crazy? Oh gosh, who was, I can never remember if it was someone in our group, but someone was questioning if they had dementia or something. Maybe it was one of you in the group, but like, come on, right? Like, where else is that showing up in your life? Like, if you really have dementia, that's going to show up in other areas of your life. And if you're with someone that is intentionally doing things to change your reality and accusing you of things that they did and they know they did them, that borders on psychotic. Well, I mean, the thing is that you can. I know someone that ended up, I'm pretty sure she's with someone that's narcissistic, but she used to end up in the hospital all the time with like mental breaks. And so could someone say she has mental illness and has had a mental breakdown? Sure. Yeah. But why? Right. And then the husband was like all doting and like, you know, it's just I didn't know at the time, but looking back, I'm like, oh man. So yeah, you could very much feel like that's happening, but it's because of the relationship, not because you're actually crazy or losing it. You could be, the thing is it can feel like you are losing it, but it's not you. As soon as you extract yourself from that situation, it will all become very clear. Oh, yes. And I've heard that so much. The question of, am I the one that's crazy? And I can tell you, even though you might feel that way, all of you, you are not. The situation is crazy. You're with someone that is indeed unhinged and has some level of mental illness. It's an illness to act in these ways, whether lower on the spectrum, mid-range, high-end, psychosis or psychotic. It's an illness. It's a mental illness. It's a psychological illness and it needs treatment, but it needs the person that needs the treatment to step up and say, I need this treatment because I don't want to be this person. They're not saying it just to appease you and keep you under control. They get to a place where they're like, I don't like who I am. I don't like how this feels. And I'm going to do whatever I need to do to not be in those ways. And unless that's happening, then you are delusional and you're kidding yourself. If you think he's doing the dishes and being a proper husband for a little while, that means that he's changed and they can switch like that, right? Okay, ladies, that wraps up this session. Thank you so much for coming and sharing yourselves and bringing your energy. These calls are so transformational for all of you. I know they are. To be able to just come together and share and feel validated is so healing because so many women are in this alone and they're isolated and they don't know what is happening. So I want you all to stay awake, watch, be aware, and stay in your lane. Stop getting hooked into the mind fuckery. It is so healing. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, ladies, I'll see you guys in the group. Take care.